Welcome to the OA Light a Candle Meeting Podcast. Visit our website at www.oalaig.org, where you will find three separate speaker feeds with over 400 speaker files, forms for ordering CDs for these speakers, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. I would now like to introduce our speaker for tonight, Sandra.
Hi, I'm Sandra. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Sandra.
Hi, everybody. I am a grateful, recovering compulsive overeater, imperfect in every way, and just grateful to be here. And I want to thank Martha for asking me to speak just in the nick of time. I really did not want to come and speak tonight, and I just really, because I feel like my abstinence, my life, my recovery, it's not nice and neat and tidy and, you know, with a pretty bow on top. So, but I show up when I'm asked, and something I'm supposed to be here tonight. You know, Martha did ask me, you know, several months back, I don't know, 6-9 months ago, and I did say no because I didn't have a sponsor at that time. I was in between sponsors, and I may talk about that. That may come up later, but and I just felt like, you know, it's important to practice what you preach here, and I really, really believe in sponsorship, and you know, whether that was the right thing to say no or not at that point, you know, but I, you know, having a sponsor has been so critical to my my journey here in OA, because my head is insane when it comes to food, and I need a sponsor that can see my disease when I can't, because it's really sneaky, and the longer I'm here, the sneakier it gets. And so I you know, I'm really grateful to be here, because I did not get here and stay here. I, you know, I got here, I came 10 years ago, and I'm just celebrated 7 years last week. So, you know, so I spent 3 years, you know, pretty painful years, you know, in and out, and really, really getting down my first step. I just had a lot of research to do, I guess. And so what really qualifies me to be here is I would like to stop early because qualifies me to be here is, you know, this relationship I've had with food my whole life. And you know, it has really has taken the edge off of life for me, and life has always felt really prickly, and you know, and I don't react well to life. I don't react well to change. I don't react well to people not doing it my way, and my life is really unmanageable behind that. And you know, add food to that as a solution. And it really is a temporary, it works really, really well for a short period of time. And I am an immediate gratification girl, you know, and anything that is going to, you know, fill that God-sized hole that I feel like I was born with, you know, because I was looking for something to fill that really early on. And, you know, I have a 10-year-old and a 13-year-old today, and, you know, I look at their life, and, you know, it's not the life I had, you know, and it's, you know, it touches me deeply, because, you know, like my 13-year-old, his life is like, he's just hitting his stride, and his life is opening up, and, you know, and he's being raised in, you know, a sober, recovered home. My husband's in recovery, I'm in recovery, and you know, we do it really imperfect, but we're, you know, it is not the homes that we grew up in. And you know, my experience when I was 13 was, you know, anything I could do to just shut down my every feeling, every, you know, and I'm watching my kid, and he's trying new things, he's making new friends, he's, you know, went to middle school and just was like, no problem. I mean, I'm watching him going, are you kidding me? Like, whose kid is this? You know, so just so much gratitude. What really, really, like, the bottom for me was when my kids were babies. And, I'd done a lifetime of eating and compulsive eating and uncontrolled eating and, tomorrow I'm going to do better, trying to pull myself up by my bootstraps and just the shame and humiliation over and over, and just the self-hatred because I couldn't do it. I couldn't, I didn't know why I couldn't just, get it together. I'm smart, I come from, a good family, so we have these babies, and I can't stop eating. I really can't stop eating, and because what happened is when I became a mother, like, this whole new level of fear entered my life. Like I was completely responsible for this other thing, at any time anybody needs anything from me, don't ever need anything from me because I'll fail you. And I don't want the responsibility. I don't want, just the list of, like, why I walk around life like this, I don't want any responsibility, all of that stuff. I just, I have these babies and all this fear and the hole in my gut, this God-sized hole, is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and I'm trying to fill it, just shove food in, just fill it with food, and, they'd be napping and I'd be eating, and then I'd hear them wake up and I'd be like so resentful that they were awake. They were like interfering with my eating. It's like, okay, this is not the vision of motherhood that I had. I went to parenting classes, I read books, I was like, I'm gonna learn how to be a better parent than I saw growing up. And again, like, my will. I'm going to figure it out, but I had this disease that just, wasn't cooperating. And I'd put them in the back of the car because I needed to go to 7-Eleven. And, I'd leave them in the car while I'd go into 7-Eleven. And I'd hide my food over here because I didn't want to share with them, I made their baby food, organic baby food. I mean, I was, like, fanatic about, like, the food that they ate. And it was insane. I mean, you get the picture. Like, it was not, like, normal thinking. It was not normal behavior. It was really powerlessness. And that, just that feeling that my kids were in the way of my food and of my drug. And I knew about OA, and I knew, that I needed to go. And I probably for about 3 years just was like, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to that program. I don't want to do it. And because I didn't want to give up my food. And, the disconnect from my life, like, my bottom really was, like, I had everything that I thought was going to make me happy. We had the house, the kids, the cars, the husband, and life was really good. There wasn't anything on the outside that I thought would make it any better. It's like, okay, I had I had all the checks on the list, and my life was just, like, draining out my sleeve. I couldn't connect to any of it. I couldn't feel any of it. I wasn't grateful for any of it. I didn't appreciate any of it. And none of it made me happy. And that's the, when I go for the short-term gain, that's the long-term pain. That's the long-term pain of compulsive overeating. right there. Like, I can't feel my life. I can't. And I heard someone say in a meeting one time, and it so hit me to the core that, you know, it was a step 8 and 9 meeting, and she talked about making amends to God. And that was just, she talked about, like, all the gifts that God had given her whole life that she just, like, discarded. And that was so me, like, so me. Like, I, you know, when I look back, you know, that is really how I live my life. Entitled, like, really, you know, if it wasn't my way, you know, I was just such a brat, you know? And so I really, that really went in deep. Like, I feel like I have been in a process of making amends to God, and by really just recognizing the gifts, you know, just appreciating them. And I don't have to do anything alone today. I really, really don't. And that is a huge gift. That's a huge gift. And I've learned in program to ask for help, because if I don't want to do anything alone, I have to ask people to help me. And, you know, so, you know, I've asked for a lot of help. And so I'm going to back up a second and just say that I eventually, obviously, came to my first meeting of OA, and I, you know, it was right down the street from where I lived. It was early on Saturday morning. I thought I could just get to the meeting, get home before, you know, I wouldn't, like, disrupt my family, because, you know, God forbid, I would want to disrupt my family by recovery, you know, like, I'd be wreaking havoc in everyone's life, you know. And but I go, and this is my God. I go to this meeting, and it's this huge meeting of, like, I don't know, 80 people, 100 people some mornings, and lots of recovery, just, like, honest sharing. And I thought I was going to go to, like, this little meeting and this little pathetic, you know, meeting where, you know, I was, you know, relegated to just spend my days, you know. And I really got to see, you know, the fire for OA and these people, their lives being changed and that light on. And what happened for me is that the obsession was removed. And that had never, ever occurred to me that that would be what would happen when I came here. Because I just, like, lived with it for so long. It was just, I'd never been without it. You know, if I wasn't eating, I was thinking about it. I was planning. I was, you know, remorseful or whatever, you know. But that the absence of that, it never even occurred to me that that was possible. And that happened for me. And when I first came to OA, and 10 years ago. And then what happened to me is that I took that for granted, like I do every other gift that God had ever given me. And then I didn't nurture it. I didn't take care of it. I didn't grab hold of this program. I got a food plan. I started with this food plan. I started losing weight, and got down to a healthy body weight pretty quickly. Kind of felt like, you know, what is the big deal? Like, what? You know, I thought these people just must not be willing. I don't know. You know, like, it was so. And then, I didn't work the steps. I didn't enlarge my spiritual life. You know, I worked with a sponsor on my food, and it's probably no surprise to any of you that I didn't stay abstinent. Actually, that how I lost my abstinence, the first time, I don't really even know, which is the other thing that food does. I completely, like, your vacations, my husband will go, remember when we went to this bar or whatever? And I'm like, no. Like, I really, like, it is a drug for me. Like, I don't remember timelines. I don't remember specifics of anything. Like, I kind of remember generalization, you know, but it's so, like, you know, a drug for me. And So I spent 3 years kind of going in and out and trying different abstinence, you know, and before this abstinence, my abstinence was no sugar, no white flour. And I don't remember if it was 3 meals, 2 snacks, to tell you the truth. I think that it was. And but that the no I can find a lot of stuff in Whole Foods that has no sugar and no white flour that are fantastic binge foods, you know, really. And so I got into this whole world of, like, lookalikes. Again, I'm still not working the steps. You know, I'm shifting around sponsors and trying to find the magic bullet. And but I don't really have time to do the steps. I don't have time to do, you know, to be of service, to sponsor. You know, I don't have time to give that. And I had two small kids. I didn't have a lot of time, but I wasn't. But, you know, today I don't have a lot of time, but it doesn't. I'm even more busy today, but I do a lot of program today because it just has to be that way. I just want to just say, you know, talk about one of my relapses that was very, very clear to me. It was Thanksgiving, and I was, this is when I was eating, pumpkin pie from, you know, that was technically abstinent, from Whole Foods, and, you know, went to my parents' house, and there was pumpkin pie, and, like, there was no, the line was so blurred for me, I just stepped over it, you know. Today I don't do lookalikes, and it just makes it really clear for me. And I haven't done that for 7 years, and it just makes it easier. And you know, it's interesting. Food. I'm not going to talk a lot about food, but there's this shift that happened for me somewhere from, like, not eating things, like feeling deprived because I couldn't, to feeling like liberated because I didn't have to. And like that freedom of, like, just one choice at a time, one meal at a time. And, you know, the freedom of that is huge. And I will, so what I really want to talk about is this abstinence. I found a sponsor. She was very into the steps, and we started working. You know, she had me in the big book, the 12 and 12, the OA 12 and 12, the AA 12 and 12, you know, AA comes of age. Like, we just used all the literature to really, like, look under every stone of my disease. And this is where I really had a step two experience that was really deep and profound. When you know, it had that experience of, like, there is a power greater than me that is in my corner, that notices me, that I can rely on, that will be there for me. Like, that, I don't think I ever really got that until this program and this time around. At a really deep level. And, you know, and then, you know, once I had step two, like, step three was a no-brainer, you know, of course, like, if, you know, you can have my life because it's a big mess. And and so this journey started, and, you know, I got up in the morning, early, like 5 o'clock, you know, like, before my kids. Then that was a big surrender. When she asked me to do that, I was like, oh, my God, you know. And, but, you know, I get up. And, you know, I'd write, call her, the women that I sponsored would call me, and, you know, pray, meditate, letter to God, all of that stuff. And so, you know, for about 6 years, I had that journey with her. And what really started to happen was, life got really messy. A lot of stuff started, life's always going on. There's always, like, stuff happening. This just seemed to, like, it just kept coming and coming and coming. And I start, you know, I'm going to try and be as clear as I can and concise. Because what really started to happen was that my food started to become my higher power. My structure around my food, you know, I would weigh and measure like that. It's like my, you know, God was in that action. And it is true, I think, that there, you know, God is in that, the, in, you know, you hear that God's in the measuring cup. However, what happened for me is that it really got over and this over-focused, and this fear came again, and this, you know, this God-sized hole, and I had this over-reliance on my sponsor and this structure, and that abstinence, you know, the abstinence that I had with her really was my higher power. And and what started to happen is when that fear really got so big, it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. And I started, you know, lying to her about my food. And I started picking, you know, doing food behavior that, you know, doesn't serve me, doesn't serve my brain, doesn't serve my perception, you know, like food for me. There's foods that I eat that set up the craving in me, and I'm really clear about what those are, and there's foods that set up the crazy in my head. I may not want to eat a lot of it, but if I eat some of it, like I'm up at 3 a.m. and the sky is falling, and like the anxiety, like, you know, when I got here and my food got clean, I lived my whole life with this enormous amount of anxiety and depression. And when my food got clean, that stuff lifted, and I was like, that was food? Like, I could not believe, like, how, you know. And so what started happening was I, you know, this mentality, ever so subtly, because this is my disease, you know, started going for the short-term gain, because I couldn't handle the discomfort and the pain. And I don't like process. I don't like just not knowing. And I just feel like, you know, this program, the miracle of it is that I have really learned how to be in the present moment. Like, just, you know, driven to my knees. Like, I, you know, but my disease once is constantly there. Like, it saw this weakness, and it just, like, leapt on me. That's just, like, how it felt, you know. And, you know, so my sponsor let me go, and because I wasn't really being honest with her. Like, if she's my higher power, like, no, there's no human power that can... You know, I can have the most and she's fantastic. I called her the other day to thank her for helping me, because it's my birthday, and we had a wonderful conversation. I mean, I love her. I love her so much, and you know, she's always going to be in my corner. She's always going to be in my life. But she just felt like I couldn't. She wasn't helping because I couldn't hear her, and she was right. She was right, So I had this period of time where, you know, I didn't have a sponsor, and I was looking around trying to find a sponsor, and, you know, I just prayed, you know, just, okay, God, like, I can't go figure it all out. You know, this is where I have to just let God, like, provide me with what I need, because I never know what I need. I'm always wrong, always, you know, and I'm always surprised every time, you know. And so I have this sponsor today that is very, very different. And she doesn't really care about the food too much. And I'm like, what? Like, you know, it's scary. Like, it's really up to me. Like, it's very, very different. And, but what she is, you know, ever so slowly doing for me is, just guiding me back to my own God, you know, because it has to be between me and God, and she's not going to stand between me and God. And don't know why I'm so emotional, but so I feel like I know why I'm. I feel like I'm in this process, and it's scary because, like I said, I want the nice, neat, tidy package that's a little bit predictable, and that I can count on. I want to count on this outside thing. You know, that's what I want to rely on, something outside, like, you know, because it feels so scary sometimes to just be alone with God, like, and to just know that it's just between me and God, and it's, and one choice at a time, one day at a time, one, you know, challenge at a time, and that's how I get through life. And, you know, today my food is clean, and I'm sponsored. I sponsor women, and I got to tell you, sponsoring is has probably just absolutely saved my life. Like, it's the reason I'm still standing here, because this can't just be for me. It's for my, you know, it's for my family, it's for my kids, it's for my husband, and it's for, you know, the compulsive overeater coming in behind me. And, you know, I'm still really, you know, I have this idea, this old idea and this judgment that my food has to look a certain way to have, I don't even know how to say it, to have my seat here in a certain way. And this process has been, like, so just, like, humbling in a way. And, you know, at the beginning it was kind of humiliating, and now I just feel, like, humble. Like, I just am just one, it's my way is just one way of many. And, you know, if you're new, like, there's, you know, there's a lot of different types of abstinence here. There's a lot of different journeys to get to, you know, I mean, ultimately, I think we're all headed in one place. And, you know, if we don't, like I said earlier, enlarge and grow our spiritual life, you know, we're not going to make it, you know, and, you know, like it or not. And, but what I love about this program is that, and also the thing I hate about it is that it's really, you know, we each get to have our own conception and our own journey. Like, I'd much rather have you tell me what exactly what I need to do and exactly who my God needs to be. And, you know, me having to, like, just be in the process, you know, that's where all the growing happens. And I feel like that's where I've been most of service and most useful to others, is in, like, the messiness of it all, you know, just being human. And I never wanted to be human. That's part of why, you know, I got here and I thought, oh, I looked at those 12 steps and I thought, oh, thank God, like, I could just work these steps and then I'll be perfect. You know, like, surely if you do all that work, you're not, you know, you're going to get rid of all your character defects and, you know, I'm going to have this great relationship with God. And yes, that has happened, but not in any way the way I thought it was going to happen. And, you know, I saw plenty of character defects, and they're nothing like they used to be. And, you know, they sneak up. They, I get to write about them. I get to work with, you know, steps on them. I get to share them with my sponsor and take some action. And, you know, I really just, like, want to be a quick study and get it all, you know, tidied up and move on. And so, which is exactly what would have happened. I would have moved on had I gotten too well, too quick. And thank you. So I'm just, you know, I'm going to stop there, I think, and just, you know, I'm obviously really grateful for being here, for this fellowship that has just, like, absolutely carried me, and that I have a place where I really know what my primary purpose is. I can get so distracted by all the shiny things out there, you know, and, you know, career and, you know, stuff, you know, But I have a primary purpose, and I always, if I get feel too untethered, I just get back to, like, who can I be of service to? Where, God, do you want me to be of service? It's, like, really, really, really simple. And what am I supposed to do today, like right now? What's the next indicated action? And then do that. And however that turns out, is God's will. And, you know, so I'm just grateful. Thank you, Martha, for asking me to share, and grateful to be here. Thanks. Do you have something to read or just take questions? Okay, the question is, how do I work the steps in my relationship, in my program, in my relationship with my husband? Well, I have lots of opportunities. And so, you know, I just wrote a little mini inventory last week, you know, and, you know, I can really, when I, the other thing that happens for me when I get uncomfortable is I can really focus on him and what he's not doing. And I always have suggestions on how he could be doing things differently. The difference today is that it doesn't come out of my mouth. Sometimes it does, but really not often. And because the truth is, I have to really, really accept that he's different than me, he has a different program than me, he has a different journey than me, and I do not want to be the one standing between he and God. Like, he's got to have his relationship with God and work out his stuff with God, and it doesn't have anything to do with me. You know, we have been through a lot these last few years. A lot. Everything has changed, it seems like. And so I've had to do a lot of writing. I've had a lot of resentment come up. And I just have gotten down to that basic thing. Like, a sponsor, it tells me, this is his deep spiritual journey. Just stay out of the way. And I want it to be faster. I think, okay, you've had enough time. Let's get there, you know. But what do I know? Like, I really have so much on my plate, so to speak. Like, I really just have to focus there. I got so much stuff, so many character defects at any given time going on. And I just have to, keep the eye on the ball. And the steps really helped me do that. And, in that little mini inventory I took the other day, last week, it was step one. I'm powerless over my husband. And my life is unmanageable when I'm focusing on him, and just have to go down through the steps. And that can apply to anything, my kids, and their struggles and what's going on with them. And, I can work those steps, insert anything in there. And I get to see, like, I am powerless. The only thing I really have any power over is, how am I taking care of my program and my spiritual life, and get back focused there. So the question was to talk a little bit more about how my anxiety and depression were linked to my food. And yes, it was quantity, it was behavior, it was specific foods. Definitely specific foods would trigger that anxiety. And my food got clean. It's like I had on a whole new lens of life. Like, my perception of things really shifted. And and then once I started working the steps, that reliance, on a power greater than me, like, really helped it. When I the combo, like, the peace and the quiet that came from putting down the food was, really incredible. And, like I said, like, my food, when I was in this period of time between sponsors recently, I picked up some of my yellow light foods. And that, it was right back again, right there, just like that. And I knew it. But I was still, like, I'm a compulsive overeater. I don't have the power. All the self-knowledge in the world isn't going to help me eat better. Like, I have to have a spiritual experience. I have to have a surrender. So that, I never know how long I'm going to be stuck in it before I can have that surrender, because it's not really up to me so much. It's like that surrender is a gift from God. And like I said earlier, like I have to, once I get it, I have to hang on to it, and I have to just dive in and really nurture it, because I can really talk myself out of it, intellectualize myself out of it, and take, you know, really if I take it for granted, it's going to be gone. Okay, the question is, how do I bring God into food besides weighing and measuring? Well, you know, my relationship with God, as you could probably tell, has really been on this roller coaster ride. Like today, meditation is really, you know, I've meditated throughout, you know, I've really put a focus on meditation in these last 7 years, because praying is important for me, but meditation seems to be even more critical. And when I'm not meditating, I'm pretty disconnected. And that what meditation gives me, that is just that connection with my true self, my true purpose. Just there's just that quiet place inside that's just you know, pure. It's not, you know, it's not where my disease lives. So I need to connect to that as often as possible. And sometimes, you know, in the middle of my day, I'll stop and just take 4 deep breaths. And, you know, praying before I eat is always a good idea. However, like, I'm telling you, when I get close to food, when it's like, I'll even like half hour before I eat, I'll have, you know, this happened to me the other day. I said to my sponsor, I'm going to pray before I eat. I wanted to make that commitment. And I didn't. And it was after my meal. I was like, how did that happen? Like, it was like this blank spot. Like, you know, so I would like to say I do that because I think it's a good idea. I think it would be helpful. But I think on, it's like, you know, feeding time, I get crazy. I don't know. I'm like, why can I never remember to do that? So, I don't know, Post-its in my kitchen or something. But I just think, you know, being honest with my food, no matter what, I just got to get back. You have to be honest, you know, because that period of time, you know, of not being honest with my last sponsor was really, it was really painful. So, you know, my sponsor today, I'm honest with what I eat. I have amped up, you know, picked up my meditation. Okay. Thank you.